Good evening. It's a real privilege to be with you tonight again to share something of God's Word. Well, we'll read together from Jeremiah chapter 17. We'll just read part of the chapter from verse 5. Jeremiah 17 from verse 5. I'm reading from the New International Version. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. Like a partridge that hatches eggs it did not lay is the man who gains riches by unjust means. When his life is half gone, they will desert him, and in the end he will prove to be a fool. A glorious throne, exalted from the beginning, is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you will be put to shame. Those who turn away from you will be written in the dust, because they have forsaken the Lord, the spring of living water. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For you are the one I praise. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word to all our hearts. Time and again throughout Scripture, we find the pictures being used of trees to draw forth spiritual truth and help us to understand more of God's purpose for us. Psalm 1 obviously comes to mind. Jesus, in his parables, sometimes used them. For example, the mustard seed growing into the large tree. Or speaking of false prophets, by their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Psalm 1 speaks of the contrast. The person who loves God and is blessed by him is described as like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. So Jeremiah is not unique by any manner of means in picking up this illustration of two trees to describe two ways of living. The way of death, which the worldly person pursues, the way of life, which the godly person pursues. And we're going to be looking at this and seeing what God has to say about these two types of people. About the worldly person, God says in verse 5, this is what the Lord says, cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength and whose heart turns away from the Lord. But about the godly person, he says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence in him. Quite a contrast, in a sense, quite a shocking contrast. It's not normal for people to describe others as being under a curse, as being under God's judgment. That's not what you're supposed to say these days. It's certainly not PC. But when God says it, he's not just venting his spleen. He's not making some kind of arbitrary distinction and judgment. No, what he's doing is simply looking at people and seeing just what they really are like. And in God's eyes, a person's destiny is determined by the object of their trust. You see, the worldly person has decided, as God looks at him, to put his trust in human wisdom. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength. Such a person is, his worldview is limited simply by what he can see, by what he can hear, by what he can understand with his own finite mind. People can think all sorts of amazing things. They can work out incredible ideas. They can perform astounding feats. But there's more to life and death and the universe than we human beings can comprehend. Try as hard as we like, do what we can in all sorts of ways. There's always more that we have not understood, that we cannot grasp, that's beyond our ability to comprehend. Mere human thought and ingenuity run out of steam sooner or later. Now, such things are not to be despised or dismissed out of hand or rejected. What people can do, what people can think, what people can produce does indeed call forth wonder and amazement very often. God is not concerned to say we shouldn't think. We shouldn't use our reason or our powers of comprehension. No. But what he's saying is that if we put our trust and our confidence simply in that alone, we're building on foundations that aren't just shaky. They're bound to fall. They're undermined before we start. You see, when God looks at people whose trust is in man, who depend on flesh for their strength, what he's seeing is really people whose hearts have turned away from the Lord. And that's the crux of it. That's the critical issue. That's what's really wrong. It's not that they're using their reason and their abilities, but it's that they're using them alone and turned away from God, excluded God from their thinking and from all their living and their acting. They've turned away from the lights and so are groping in darkness. They cannot begin to see the whole picture, nor grasp the full reality that is before them. As God looks down at his people, and here Jeremiah was speaking to the people of God, the people of Judah, and he's seeing in them folks who, though they are officially his people, have yet turned aside from his ways. And they're no longer trusting in him, but they're trusting in their own wit and wisdom. They're trusting in their own economic power. They're trusting in their political alliances. They're trusting for safety, not on the living God, but they're trusting on other powers, Assyria, Babylonia, whoever, Egypt. They've stopped relying upon God. The worldly person simply trusts in themselves and in their own wisdom. But by contrast, the godly person that Jeremiah sees, that God is seeing, puts his trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence or whose trust is in him. Such a person is one who acknowledges the limits of his own intelligence, the finitude of his own powers, who acknowledges his own sinfulness and frailty, and who lifts up his heart to the Lord for deliverance, for salvation, for wisdom. Jeremiah, time and again, speaks to his own people and castigates them because they have simply trusted in other nations rather than in God for their security. They've trusted in their own economic resources rather than in the Lord for their provision. He says to his people, the Lord wants us to rely on him and on him alone. The trap that the folks in Israel fell into so long ago is a trap that is still there. How easy it is to put our trust in ourselves rather than in God. But God says if we're to know his blessing, then we must put our trust in him and in him alone. The object of the trust of the worldly person and the godly person is very different. The one trusts in themselves, the other trusts in the Lord. But God goes on to say it's not only the object of their trust, but the outcome of their trust that is radically different. The Lord says that the worldly person cannot flourish simply because he is focused on what is secondary and subject to change. He is like a bush in the wastelands. Like a bush in the wastelands. It's not something that we are all that familiar with, living on the west coast of Scotland. But in Israel, the issue of lack of water is one that is a constant pressing problem. Water is always in short supply. It was back then in Jeremiah's day. It still is. And there are many who say that some of the great wars that will come in the future will be fought over water, the lack of water. One country appropriating more than its share of water. That's certainly the case in the Middle East, where water is becoming an increasing problem. But back there in Jeremiah's day, it was very difficult. They were always just one rainy season away from disaster. If the rains failed, then they had grave problems. And famine was always just around the corner. Trees, bushes, vegetation constantly are struggling to survive. When the rain falls, then they're all right. They take a spurt of growth. They produce leaves, perhaps some fruit, and do the best. But if they're not near a river, then when the rain ceases, the growth is checked. And in the wastelands, in the desert areas, then bushes are always stunted. They're always in constant danger from the drought. And of course, though it may grow and be all right one season, well, the next time the rain might fall just a mile down the road or just in another bit of the area. And that bush doesn't get it. And so it fails and dies. And Jeremiah says the worldly person, the person who's living without God, the person who's just simply trusting in themselves, is like that bush in the wasteland. Oh, it may look fine and prosperous at times when all is going well, but inwardly, he's stunted. Because his inner roots don't reach the springs of life. There are no reserves for times of drought. He will be like a bush in the wastelands, verse 6. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. You see, the issue, as we saw, is that their hearts have turned away from the Lord. Or, as Jeremiah puts it back in chapter 2 and verse 13, God says, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." You see, the farmer would build cisterns knowing that the water supply was fitful. He would build great big ponds, line them well, so they would hold the water when it falls. But if the cistern got cracked, then the water would just seep away through the cracks and wouldn't last. And God's people, says the Lord, they had been so stupid. They'd gone away from where the streams of living water were. They'd built cisterns, but those cisterns were broken. So God says of these worldly people, he says, "You're in problems. You're in danger. You see, even when God's blessings were poured round about them, it may not affect them. They would miss out on them. They may even fail to recognize God's blessings for what they really are. They remain dry and useless. What a picture the Lord paints in verse 6. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. Picture of one living without God. Without Him, the world is a thirsty, lonely, sterile place. Like a bush growing in land that has become so dry and the minerals have grown too strong, making life almost impossible for the bush to live. Sterile, empty, no one coming near. That's the picture that God paints of such a one, now and for eternity. But oh, what a contrast when God goes on to speak about the godly person. Because the godly person, the one who knows the blessing of God, will flourish. Because he's focused on the things that are eternal, not on the things that are passing and temporal. He is, in fact, like a tree by the water. What a distinct difference between the bush stunted and dry and fading away in the desert, in the wastelands. Here we see a tree, strong, healthy, flourishing, its leaves green, its roots are down in the soil, going deep and reaching out deliberately for the water. Its roots thrusting out, that sends out its roots by the stream, reaching out for the water. Its leaves are green and healthy, bringing fresh light and life for the whole tree. Its fruits being produced regularly and bountifully. And even if the rains fail, even if drought comes, the tree continues to flourish because it's by a source of water, fresh and flowing. And here, says the Lord, is the secret of a life that knows God's blessing. Stay near to the water of life. Let our roots go down into the soil, out to the water, with strong, deep roots within Scripture. Reading God's word, learning it, coming to know it, seeking to understand it, not just with our minds, but with our hearts, letting God's word change our lives, affect how we think, how we speak, how we react. Deep roots in the word of God, in prayer and worship and in fellowship, that together we might grow in the things of God. In Ephesians chapter 3, in Paul's prayer, He prays in verse 16, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. We cannot grasp the greatness of God's love, the wonder of his purpose, on our own. Only as we are together in Christ can we come to understand and experience and grow in that amazing love of our Lord's. God's blessing is seen in the quality of our relationship with him. Our fruitfulness will be seen in bringing forth the fruit of the Spirit. Perhaps a word of caution is wise, that God's blessing may be seen in outward prosperity and in outward circumstances, but it's far from guaranteed. God's blessing is in the quality of life that a person knows and enjoys. That's what God sees. That's what's important, to know his blessing as we grow in him. And such a person who is living in the blessing of God, with deep roots going into the things of God, is inwardly secure. Oh, Jeremiah had his moments. Jeremiah had his time. Just a couple of chapters before, he records it when he felt that everything was going wrong, that he'd been abandoned by God. It all seemed to be so difficult. The pressures were on him. People wouldn't have listened to him. They didn't understand him. They were criticizing and condemning him. And he began for a moment to doubt God himself. Chapter 15, verses 18 and 19. Will you be to me like a deceptive brook, like a spring that fails? But even as he calls out to God, he's aware of God drawing near again, opening his eyes to see the reality, the truth. Of course, God isn't like that. He's not a deceptive spring. God says to him, if you repent, I will restore you that you may serve me. If you utter worthy, not worthless words, you will be my spokesman. Oh, he'd known his moment of doubt. But very quickly, the waters flowed again, and he drank deeply again of God. And he was restored, and he was able to continue to serve the Lord. Because there's times when all of us have moments of doubt and uncertainty. But if we're seeking to know God and seeking to serve him and seeking to walk in his ways, he'll be there, always ready to encourage us, to restore us as we turn afresh to him. A bush in the wastelands, the tree by the water. Well, of course, the bush that's growing in the wasteland has no choice where it lands up. The bird drops the seed there, or the wind has blown it there, and it just grows where it happens to be. The tree by the water hasn't chosen that place. It's just where the acorn fell or whatever. They have no choice. They just have to get on with it. But of course, we do have a choice. We were all far from God. We turned away from Him, every one of us. But God in His mercy has spoken to our lives. He's invited us. He's called us. He's summoned us to Himself. And in Him, we have found life. We have found the source of living water. And have the assurance that water will never run dry. And right through eternity, we'll be dwelling by the river. But of course, we need to beware of becoming complacent and settling down and just saying, oh, well, I'm all right. There's nothing can go wrong now. You see, that worldly spirit that we see outside in the hearts and lives of so many of our neighbors and our friends and our colleagues, that worldly attitude is so highly contagious. And it can affect us. Remember, Jeremiah wasn't speaking to the Babylonians or the Assyrians or the Egyptians as opposed to the Israelites. No, he was speaking to those who would have claimed to be the people of God. They had been infected by the contagion of worldliness and were living their lives in effective denial of God. That's why Jeremiah reminds us in verse 9 that the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? We can all be tripped up. Satan can so easily come and blind us and cause us to stumble. We need to be on the alert, on our guard. And remember the warning of verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. The Lord knows what's going on in the heart. Other people can't see. Other people don't know what we're thinking, how we're feeling, but the Lord knows. A word of warning, a word of consolation too. Because He knows, because He understands, because He loves, He's there ready to reach out His hands and help us and restore us and empower us. That's why He finishes with that prayer. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For You are the one I praise. The trees have no choice, but we have the choice. We be like the bush in the wasteland, or like the tree planted by the river. Remember that wonderful promise in Psalm 92, the closing verses, verse 12.